this meeting of the Senate Finance Committee from March 4th, 2025 will come to order. We have one bill on the agenda, Senator Herr's Senate File 506 for the Environmental Natural Resources Trust Fund appropriation. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I just want to start saying that Senate File 506 is an environmental bill that I'm always proud of being the author. And this bill passed the Senate Environment, Climate, and Legacy with strong support. And I want also to thank my co-chair, our lead, minority lead, Senator Eichhorn, who is also a member of this committee, and the members of the Environment Committee. So Senate File 506 is the Annual Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resource, our LCCMR bill, for funding from the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund. The bill includes over $103 million in funding for 124 environmental and natural resources projects across our state. The project are the recommendation of 17 members of LCCMR, a joint commission of senators, representatives, and citizens, and were developed in a bipartisan, bicameral way over the last 9 months during the interim. Senate File 506 is bipartisan in terms of co-author. Senator Westrom is the co-author of this bill with me. The LCCM recommendation for this project were passed by super majority support with 11 yes, 1 no, 2 abstain, and 3 excused or absent. The trust fund is one of the broadest source of state dedicated funding for environment, natural resources projects across our state. As such, the bill includes a diversity of projects from innovative research to environmental education and technical assistance to land protection and restoration to creation of local parks and trails amenities. These recommendation project in Senate File 506 touch on some of the most important issues and challenges facing Minnesota. And this bill ensure that the trust fund will directly benefit every region of our state. You might have in your package a map and outline of project in your district as well, members. So I've passed the going walkthrough of the bill to Director Becca Nash next to my left here, and also Mr. Mike Capana, who's a hotline to Director Becca here. And I'm also have Senate counsel be on standby for more detailed questions or technical questions. And I do stand by for any answer that you will need from me. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Herr and Ms. Nash, Director Nash. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and go ahead. Or Mr. Compagna.
Mr. Ahead. Chair, before we do that, I do like to ask members or yourself to make an amendment, an A1 amendment. It's just a technical change.
That
in the
amendment
bill.
Will be passed out right now. And Senator Herr, this is basically a technical amendment.
Yes, the technical amendment is just to change the entity that will be getting the funding from Bay West to Freshwater Society.
Okay. And while it's being handed out, Ms. Nash or Mr. Companion, no comments, just a technical amendment.
Comments to the amendment? The amendment is just a request of the project partners. This was an arrangement that they had, and both are in agreement to this change.
Okay. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair Marty. Can we just get a brief description who the Freshwater Society is? I'm not familiar with them, so.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, Freshwater Society is a nonprofit organization that has been around for over 30 years, focusing on water issues. And they have, as part of our proposal process, we do pre-reviews and fiscal checks on all of our organizations, and they are somebody that we have provided funding for before and are in good status to be receiving funds.
Thank you. And they do the kind of work, cleanup work, that the other group, the West Bay or Bay West LLC did?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, they were actually a part of the project. They've always been a part of the project. This is just a request by Bay West to not be the lead entity receiving the funding and instead have Freshwater Society being the receipt of funding.
Thank you. Senator Eichhorn, willing to move the amendment, A1 amendment? Senator Eichhorn moves the A1 amendment. Is there any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question to follow up on Senator Dreheim's question. So Bay West LLC was to develop this biofilm treatment. Now Freshwater Society is going to be doing that work instead. And what is going to be the role of Bay West LLC? Or are they no longer part of the project? And Mr. Chair, my second piece was, I was wondering if all the testifiers could pull their microphones a little bit closer. I'm having a hard time hearing.
Good point.
Sometimes.
Yes, please speak directly into the mics because it's hard to hear for some. Okay. Ms. Nash, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, so there's always been an aspect of the nonprofit organization partnering with a for-profit consultant. And so in this case, Freshwater Foundation is going to still partner with a for-profit consultant. So this is at Bay West's request to not be the lead of the project.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion on the A1 amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Ms. Nash, you want to go through the bill, or Mr. Campagna, you want to go through the bill?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and good morning. Again, my name is Becca Nash. I'm the director of the LCCMAR, the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, and my colleague, Mike Campana, assistant director, is here as well. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on Senate File 506. What I'd like to do is provide a brief recap of the LCCMAR, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, the process that LCCMAR underwent to develop these recommendations that are before you today, and then I'll do a quick walkthrough of the bill and, of course, be available for questions. So first off, the LCCMAR is a joint commission that's responsible for making recommendations to the legislature for special environment projects, primarily from the constitutionally dedicated Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. The LCCMAR is also responsible for conducting oversight of those approved projects and associated expenditures. As Senator Herr mentioned, it's made up of 17 members. That includes five senators, five representatives, and seven citizens. Similar to how your committee is assisted by nonpartisan staff, the LCCMAR is likewise assisted by its own nonpartisan staff, including Mr. Campana and me. We serve the entire legislature, House members, Senate members, minority, and majority. The Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, or ENRTF for short, is a permanent fund in the state treasury that was created by voters through a constitutional amendment to support activities that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. It's funded with 40% of the annual proceeds from the Minnesota State Lottery, as well as income invested by the State Board of Investment. The trust fund is operated similar to an endowment in that a percentage of the value of the fund can be drawn down each year for appropriation to environmental projects. The amount that has been drawn down and recommended by the LCCMAR has historically been 5.5%. However, a constitutional amendment that was passed by voters in Minnesota in November 2024 increased the amount that can be drawn down from 5.5% to 7%. That additional 1.5% will go directly as appropriated by the legislature to the Department of Natural Resources to manage a new community grants program. that is completely separate from the LCCMR. The bill that's before you today does not include the community grants program funding and only includes the 5.5% that LCCMR is responsible for recommending. So the process that developed the recommendations included resulted from a multi-stage competitive process. It started with the publication of our annual request for proposals that provides the amount of funding that's available, as well as the priorities for funding that LCCMR establishes through its statutorily required strategic plan. We receive applications in response to the RFP from all kinds of entities across the state. This can be local and regional units of government, nonprofits, for-profits, educational entities, state, and even at times federal agencies. Proposals are reviewed and evaluated by our members. Proposal members hear presentations, and eventually research projects undergo additional external scientific peer review. The top proposals are selected and put into bill form, and that package of funding must be approved by at least 11 of the 17 members in order to become LCCMR's recommendations to the legislature. For this year's process, the amount that was available was $103,326,000. In response to our RFP, we received 214 proposals requesting approximately $183 million. Following 40 hours of presentations by the applicants and multiple rounds of scoring by our members, 124 proposals were selected by the Commission for funding recommendation. These recommendations were then approved in bill form by the Commission in December. Those recommendations that are before you today also include changes to and carry forwards to prior year appropriations. We've provided some handouts in your packets in addition to the bill itself. We've provided a document that has some pie charts on it. And this breaks out how the funding would fit into LCCMR's priority funding areas, which correspond to the subdivisions in the bill. On the back page, you'll see what types of organizations would be receiving the funds, including, you know, how much money would be going to state agencies, local units of government, nonprofits, et cetera. And then the area, the pie chart at the bottom, shows the area of impact of the projects, whether they're metro, greater Minnesota, or statewide in impact. We also have a land acquisition map and table in your packets that shows what acquisitions would be are being proposed, as well as who would own the land. And then we also have a spreadsheet in your packets, and I think this is probably the most important thing for you to follow along. There are 124 projects, as I said. We won't be able to go through them all. I'm going to do a walkthrough just at the subdivision level, but if you want to follow along, you can kind of scan through and see which specific projects are in those subdivisions. So I'm going to start with Subdivision 3, which is the first priority area for LCCMR. It's foundational natural resource data and information. This subdivision includes $22.084 million for 36 appropriations. And these projects primarily involve collection, analysis, mapping, and dissemination of foundational data and information needed for conservation planning and decision making. Subdivision 4, Water Resources, includes $11.812 million for 23 appropriations. These are research and demonstration projects, as well as efforts to develop new techniques and technologies to protect the quality and quantity of our water resources. Subdivision 5, Environmental Education, includes $11.965 million for 19 appropriations. These projects provide outdoor experiences, hands-on youth education, and natural resources training. Subdivision 6, Aquatic and Terrestrial Invasive Species, includes $6.713 million for 2 appropriations. These projects aim to prevent and reduce the risk of spread of invasive species, to develop and demonstrate alternative control techniques, to restore lands and waters following invasive species removal, and to educate landowners. Subdivision 7 is Air Quality, Climate Change, and Renewable Energy. This includes $11.744 million for 7 appropriations. These are projects that propose to address air quality, climate change mitigation and adaptation, greenhouse gas reductions, renewable energy, and energy efficiencies. Subdivision 8, Methods to Protect and Restore Land, Water, and Habitat, includes $12.188 million for 19 appropriations. These projects aim to innovate the methods used to protect and restore our natural resources. Subdivision 9, Land Acquisition, Habitat, and Recreation, includes $19.553 million for 14 appropriations. These projects enhance habitat connectivity, benefit water quality, improve access for management, and increase public access for recreation. Subdivision 10, Administration, Emerging Issues, and Contract Reimbursement, includes $7.267 million for 4 appropriations. The subdivision is for fiscal management and reimbursements for ENRTF-funded projects going to non-state entities, which we do with the help from the Department of Natural Resources Grant Unit. It also includes Emerging Issues Account, LCCMAR Administration, and the LCCMAR's portion of the legacy website, which is required by law. That's it for the appropriations. There are a number of additional subdivisions, which I'll go through quickly as well. Subdivisions 11 through 16 are conditions of funding that typically get included every year. These relate to availability of appropriations, data availability requirements, work plans, reporting and budget amendments, background checks for projects involving children, specific requirements of acquisitions, restorations, and conservation easements, funding acknowledgement requirements, purchasing recycled and recyclable materials, and accessibility requirements. Subdivision 17 includes funding carry forwards or extensions. These are projects that were previously funded, but that for one reason or another need a little bit more time to complete their outcomes. No new money is being awarded. I understand that there's a requirement now to provide the estimated amount of funding that will be carried forward, so we've provided that information in your packets as well. And then lastly, sections 3 and 4 are technical changes to prior appropriations. Again, no new money is being appropriated, and these changes are shown in underlined text on page 47 and page 59. And that concludes my walkthrough, Mr. Chair and Mr. Campana, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nash. And as you mentioned, I see we do have a sheet showing the carry forward extensions. Mr. Nauman, did you want to speak to that briefly? Or?
So, Mr. Chair and members, this is the first time that your conversation from the regarding the budget rules has had a practical effect. So one of the budget rules requires that fiscal staff identify extensions of existing appropriations, so a new date that's added to make an existing appropriation available for a longer period of time. Previously, this would not have been necessary, but now, with the addition of that budget rule, fiscal staff are encouraged to identify the amount that would otherwise have canceled and identify and make that clearly known to members and legislators so that you know what otherwise could be done with that appropriation, or at least the value of it. So that's a new change. It will appear when we have omnibus bills in front of this committee, it will appear slightly different because this bill is obviously a very unique circumstance. In those circumstances, we can talk about how that will be handled in the future.
Are there questions from the members of the committee? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Nauman. I'm kind of curious. There seems to be, you know, quite a few carry forwards. And I'm just wondering, Senator Hurd, did your committee talk about these, and why are we having to extend these beyond? And I guess I haven't looked them all up in the bill yet. But how far out are we extending these appropriations?
Senator Pratt, that's a good question. I'm going to defer to Director Nash so that the answer could be more precise.
Director Nash, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, very good question. So first about why these projects are being extended. You know, if you have questions about any specific one, I can let you know that, but I can tell you generally speaking, these are projects that were still appropriated during COVID. And so we are seeing delays that happened at the beginning of the project just kind of cascaded and affecting the eventual final delivery date of those projects. So we've got some COVID, some supply chain issues, hiring issues, and then in some cases we have flooding issues that have been very disruptive to restoration projects as well as construction projects. Oftentimes that's causing people to lose a whole season, a whole year. A couple of the extensions are actual corrections to end dates rather than extensions. Most of them are being extended 1 year. In a couple cases, they're being extended for 2 years. And as for whether the committee talks about these do, first of all, they go to staff, and we do consider legislative extensions kind of an option of last resort. We really work with project managers throughout the life of the project to pursue any other option to expedite the work, to hire additional staff, to move their budgets around, to be creative, to solve the problems in other ways. And we also only extend projects if there's sort of a compelling reason for why the delay occurred. If it's a substantial impact on the outcomes of the project, and also if there's a high chance of success with that extension. They do need to be approved by the LCCMAR in order to be put into the recommendations bill before you today. And I hope that answers your questions, but if not, please let me know.
Sir Brett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Nash. I appreciate that. You know, I'm just doing a little bit of quick math here, and it's, you know, we're extending $9.1 million on basically, about a $20 million allocation, I think. So it's probably somewhere around a 50% extension, and I think that's concerning to me that we weren't able to do a good enough job in identifying these projects at the outset. And I think there has to be an expectation that these projects meet their deadlines. That's part of why we're investing in them, right? My days in the corporate world, project delays were money. You know, there was a real cost to them, and I would expect that our grantees do a better job of meeting the obligations and the promises that they made.
Further discussion from members of the committee. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair. And I guess you mentioned flooding, and six of the seven counties that I represent got flooded, according to the federal government. And just wondering, what kind of flood mitigation is in the bill? Is there any programs or projects that will be funded for flood mitigation or anything related to flooding?
Mr. Chair and members, I do believe that there are some projects, not necessarily on flood mitigation, but on water retention techniques. And if you could give me a minute, I can scan through the project and maybe point some of those out. And I might also call my helpline, Mr. Campana, if he has any ideas. But otherwise, we can just take a moment and look through the bill. Or I can also do that and get back to you after the committee meeting, whichever you prefer.
So, Jay,
either way is fine with me. I just, you know, I look at some of these projects that look really interesting and are probably needed. And then I see some other projects that I don't think would be on my priority list or high on my priority list. But, you know, I understand you guys have a tough job to try to sift through all the requests you get. But, you know, the impact of flooding, especially with water and clean drinking water, what it does to our local communities, I would hope that the committee would have prioritized that type of work. So I just look forward to further discussion on it.
Thank you. Further discussion from Senator Eichhorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll have just a couple. The first one, I do appreciate that there's less focus on acquisition of land because some counties do struggle with that. I just see the nice kind of flyer you guys put out there, and I saw the nice little tagline, from willing sellers only. What about from willing counties? A lot of counties struggle because they've got so much state, federal, tribal lands that end up off the tax rolls that some of these counties are only, you know, 19-20% taxable, which obviously creates budget challenges for a lot of our northern Minnesota counties. So in those cases, are they also willing counties in addition to willing sellers?
Ms. Nash.
Mr. Chair and members, it's a very good question. Some of the acquisitions that are in the project are actually directed, their application, so it's a grant program to local units of government. So I don't know if the local units of government are getting approval or consultation from the counties, but I imagine that since it's locally driven, there is already sort of a threshold of support there. Scientific and natural areas programs do develop those priorities and do consult with the local units of government and the counties while developing those priorities. And then again, the city of Chaska, that is a locally driven acquisition. So again, I'm assuming that there's some sort of support or coordination with the county on that. Any land acquisitions that would be for eventual transfer to the DNR does require county board approval. We don't have any of those projects in the bill this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Eichhorn.
Thank you. Thank you for that response. And I know there are some counties that, even though we don't have a statewide no net loss, no net gain policy, some counties do have that. And so it's good to hear that they do have the opportunity to work through some of that. Just out of curiosity, moving on, I see 124 projects were funded. Like, how many requests did you have? That's more of a question of curiosity, and I didn't ask that in the Environment Committee. How many requests total did you have?
Ms. Nash.
Mr. Chair and members, we had this year 214 requests totaling about $183 million.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And then Ms. Nash, this might be a follow-up for you as well. I'm looking at the total number of projects, and maybe this would be for the board or Senator Herr as well, I guess. I'm looking at the total picture. 55 of the 124 projects, about $38 million, go to the University of Minnesota. 10 of the projects, about $13.5 million, go to the Department of Natural Resources, one to the PCA. So it's about 51% of the total amount we're spending, $52.8 million, is slated to go to either the University of Minnesota or state agencies. Doesn't include grants that are going to, private colleges or universities. So that leaves about 19%, about $19.5 million are going to outdoor-related projects like trail projects. Some of that's going to the DNR, and I'm just wondering kind of why that is. And I know in Environment, nobody from the university showed up. I mean, if they're getting almost $39 million, we're disappointed that nobody from the university showed up to answer questions. I don't know if anybody from the university showed up today. I know Senator Green had some questions. I guess that would be helpful if anybody is here from the university to meet with Senator Green, because I believe he still has those questions. But I guess I'd just like to understand why so much ends up going to the university and to state agencies, because I don't think that's what a lot of folks thought they were getting when they voted for this. I think more Minnesotans expected it to go to actual outdoor projects. So if we could just touch on that a little bit, I think that would be helpful.
Thank you, Ms. Nash, or Senator Herbert. We also have somebody from the university who stood up, so might be willing to testify.
And Mr. Chair, I don't need to have a question, but if that gentleman is from the university, I think it'd be very helpful if he would connect with Senator Green. There was a lot of questions from him in Environment, and we didn't have that opportunity, and I do think there are questions about some of the funding that is going to the university. I think it would be important to get hashed out, at least in his office instead of on the floor. Yep.
Thank you, Senator Eichhorn, and for you, I hope you will reach out to Senator Green to discuss his concerns and so on. Thank you. Senator Herr and then Ms. Nash.
Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the question from Senator Eichhorn. I just also want to confirm whether from that time where we heard this bill to this time, whether we have made progress, whether University of Minnesota have reached out to Senator Green or not. And
yep.
So they did.
Okay. Yeah.
Ms. Nash.
Mr. Chair, members, I just want to say that we did follow up with Senator Green right after the meeting, and we've been coordinating with the University of Minnesota to get in to meet with them. So I think we even have a date.
Good.
A date nailed down. So we are trying to be attentive to those questions, and the university did come today. I just want to say that we do actually tell our recipients that they do not need to attend these meetings. We don't expect that these people who are professional outdoors folks or have day jobs to be here, and that we are helping to be the liaison and to communicate with them if there are questions. So,
and appreciate your playing that role, because yeah, they don't have to be here, but to connect them afterwards with people who have concerns. Yeah.
Thank you.
Senator Hurd, did you have any other, or Senator Eichhorn, are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Further questions? Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Herr. I briefly talked to you about this one, and there's a project looking through some of the other projects. Again, I have a project in our district in southern Minnesota, actually in Senator Frances and myself and in a couple other districts. It's called the Water Quality 3D Project. I know you're familiar with, and thank you for getting in the bill last year. Talking about the flooding last year, the spring, we had some really large amounts of rainfall last year. We have a two-year pilot project to work on the aquatic life of the lakes in southern Minnesota. Some of them get very, very green. You know, if you've been in northern Minnesota and southern Minnesota, you understand the importance of what happens in southern Minnesota with the agricultural, the runoff. Some of those things are very important. So that project is in the middle of its life right now, 1 year underway. But again, because of the large rainfalls we had, it really kind of hampered that project. And so what we really like to do is try and extend that project. It's showing some very valuable results. We're seeing a big change in the lake. This year I've heard the ice fishing is much better for fishing, because I don't know if it's because of the oxygen or what's going on, but we've really seen some tremendous amounts of improvements in our lakes in southern Minnesota, which is very important. So I actually have an A2 amendment. I did give it to Senator Herr and Senator Marty before. Sorry about just doing it last minute here. But looking at that and looking at the bill, on section 14.8, there's a pristine to green toxic blooms threatening northern lakes. And I think toxic blooms in northern lakes to me seems a little bit unique, because I think of toxic blooms, I think of southern Minnesota. What this amendment would do, it would take a little bit of money out of that project and direct some of that to southern Minnesota. It would change the appropriation from $1.362 million, reduce it by $335,000, leaving $1,027,000 for that project in northern Minnesota. But it would extend three different projects. It would extend their life by 2 years, which would really show some really good results. So those projects are $75,000 to the city of Fergus Falls to address water quality concerns on Lake Alice. This project has been in that lake as well. We're seeing some tremendous results. It would give $150,000 to Rice County to address the concerns on French Lake. That's again 2 years, so $75,000 per year. And then $110,000 to Blue Earth County to address the water quality concerns on North Eagle Lake, which I think affects Senator Frances' district as well as Senator Dreheim's. I just ask for some consideration of this. It would extend it 2 years. Again, this is equipment in action right now, not doing studies. This would really benefit these lakes. We're seeing tremendous results. So I'd like to offer the A2, but I do have one oral amendment to the amendment to correct where the money would go. I was mistakenly put it to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, or Bowser, and I've been informed that it should go to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. They're the ones that have been working on this project. They're well aware of what's going on with it. I think they're very impressed with the results so far. So I'd ask your support for this amendment. Again, it's not taking all the money from there. It's just taking a portion of it to extend this project for 2 more years, which I think would really show some benefits again, because of the huge rainfalls we had in the spring of 2004 and the agricultural runoff, it really kind of overwhelmed the system of what was going on, I know, in southern Minnesota. So with that, I'd ask for your support, and I'll be open for questions.
Senate Counsel, could you restate the technical change you'd like to incorporate in the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The change to incorporate would be on page 1 of the amendment, line 6, delete Board of Water and Soil Resources and insert Commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency.
Senator Jasinski, that's what you wanted to incorporate in?
Thank you, Senator Marty. That is correct.
Discussion of the amendment. Senator Herr.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Jasinski, for bringing this forward. The project you mentioned and listed here, Fergus Falls,
and also Rice County and Ruleth County. Those have its own merit. I did put in support for last year some requests for something late to do 3D, to do 3D study or 3D cleanup. And I'm still had yet to see the result myself, and I do want the effort to continue, but I'm hoping that this summer we actually see the result, not just by reading books, but I'm a person of layman, so I'd like to see it with my own eyes to see the clarity of itself in order for us to make further decision. And again, I would ask member to not accept the amendment, although it has its merit mainly because we had the LCCR process in place, and we spent a 9 month with 17 members going through these and vetted this carefully. So inserted it at this time would dismantle the whole process that we have cared for, we have been working on for the last 9 months. But I there's several way I can suggest this. One is to present a bill so it could come to my committee, environment committee, for hearing, and we can see if there's possible funding. I know our funding is tight this year. The second is that perhaps this group also look at LCCMR requests, not putting this bill, but this coming year requested, I think March 19th, if I'm correct, March 19th is the deadline for this year's submission. So that would be great to put multiple late in various district with that all aiming for 3D application. So you know that is coming up. I would like to also not just suggest but recommend that also, so we can evaluate, provide them with adequate funding for long term. So, but at this time, I'd like to ask members to vote no. Thank you,
Senator Friends, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Senator Jasinski. We've had quite a bit of discussion about this in our neck of the woods. I look at LCCMR, and I do not see the kind of representation for southern Minnesota agriculture land as other parts of the state. I'm open to the amendment. I was hoping, Mr. Chair, that we could ask someone who represents a district maybe a little further north, like Senator Eichhorn, you know, what his thoughts might be on the amendment. Obviously, what Senator Jasinski is proposing is to move some money that some would say would be of interest to a northern Minnesota legislator. I'm not a scientist. I have the impression that the project so far is showing success, and I'm sympathetic to what Senator Hurst is saying, which is how do we document that? Like, how do we show it's a good use of the money? That's my long-winded way, Mr. Chair, of saying, would Senator Eichhorn, you know, comment on the amendment? Senator Eichhorn supportive of that? That would make a difference, I think.
Senator Eichhorn on the amendment.
And I was next in the queue, so good timing. When I heard when Senator Jasinski first said northern Minnesota, I thought, well, what the heck are you doing taking money from us? But it's not really. If you look at where it goes to the Science Museum. They're going to do some work around the St. Croix watershed. A lot of that money's probably not going to make it north. And I do actually have a question for Senator Jasinski. What you're talking about here, I believe you had this in committee last year. It started out as a little bit of a pilot, and we saw some really good results from what they were doing. What we did last year helped scale it up, and this is a continuation of that. So I believe we have heard this. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, and thanks, Senator Eichhorn, you are exactly correct. Yes, this is a pilot project. Again, because of the large amounts of rainfall that happened in the spring, it kind of delayed that project. There was so much water, they couldn't actually treat it fast enough. Some of the boxes were actually floating up. We had lots of different issues. I mean, we had docks underwater. So again, this would just extend that pilot project another 2 years. And again, the reason I'm bringing it this way is because to get it back in the queue so it can finish off the following year, just because of that, it would be tough to get it approved. I know because the budgets are going to be tight. So I think this is really something, if you read the Pristine to Green Toxic Blooms, it really talks about exactly what's going on. But this is an actual project. It's not a study. This is actual equipment in the water that's working right now. So I just thought it would be a great point to put this in. Hope for your support. And again, I think it's a really good thing that we could do. And I'll continue to work with Senator Hur on it again. I think this is a way that we can do the funding that gets going. Again, I'm concerned about targets coming out at the end of the week and if there's going to be any money available for this. And I just think this is a great way to use this money on actual equipment in the water that's existing.
Mr. Chair, if I could just follow up on the question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I will say with that, being that we did see that before in the Environment Committee, I do remember this. It was a good project. There's some hard data behind it. Honestly, the dollar amount should probably be inverted, and a project like this should probably get more money. There's actually some really good work being done that could actually have benefits for all of Minnesota, for water quality throughout the whole state. This is a really neat, I think it's more than a pilot project, honestly. There's some good hard data results that show that this is a good thing and it is working. So I do support this amendment because I do think this is something we could scale up at a later point and we should see more of and could have great effects for all of our lakes, doesn't matter what corner of the state it's on. To the comment that, you know, about the board coming forward with the recommendations, as the legislature, we're the final check and balance. We're the elected folks. The folks on this paper do a lot of hard work, and we really do appreciate what they do. But sometimes things like this that come up, it is important for us as legislators to look at that and make some tweaks. The original project that for money going to the Science Museum is important. They're still going to get most of the money. I think they're going to have the money they need to do their work this year. And Senator Jasinski's project is equally important. I think it should be funded. So I do look forward to supporting the amendment today. And hopefully Senator Frenz can support it as well. I know it's going to be down in his area. And I do think the work they're doing is super important. So I will be supporting it.
Senator Champion, then Dreheim, then Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I can just get some clarification, it is my understanding that this amendment does not extend an existing project. It's entirely new funding, even if it's going to the same place. So if I could get some clarification from that from Senator Hur, that would be great, number one. And number two, it's also been my understanding that when the LCCMR comes forward with some recommendations, because they have spent a lot of time evaluating these recommendations and making a decision, that we have historically relied on, you know, what the LCCMR has said. I can think about a project of mine that I brought forward with Phyllis Wheatley wanting support for that entity, and I brought it in this committee, and the very same people, or at least some, who are now saying that we should make some changes over and above what the LCCMR is saying, was saying to me at that time that the process is the process and we should appreciate the process and respect the process. So if Senator Hur can speak to those two questions for me, that would be great. Thank you in advance, Senator Hur.
Thank you, right. Senator Hur.
Thank you, Senator Champion. And Senator Champion was cordial and patient and listened to the process and then follow through. So the agency that Senator Champion was very critical about the bill last year and that applying and made it through this bill too, made it through and, you know, was part of the appropriation as well. I'm trying to find the page, but it's page 23, Camp Parson, Mississippi Summer, and Phyllis Willey Community Center. That's what I would say more discontent that was not inclusive enough last time, and I suggest that we follow through the process, and the group did end up being allocated for funding for this year. And so there's a reason the process in place and then vetted carefully, and we all respectful of members, not just our four senators, but they're all House members and citizen members as well, total 17 members that put pretty much their entire summer over this process, not nine-month process. So that add on to the merit of this Senate file 506. And that's one of the answer to it. The other questions about the extension, I have counsel here, Mr. Campana, so that is more precise to the detail of the finance to answer to Senate Champions regarding the extension.
Mr. Mueller could step up to maybe perhaps.
Mr. Chairman, Dan Mueller, Senate Fiscal Analyst. Senator Champion, to your question, the first two projects on on the amendment, the Fergus Falls and the Rice County French Lake, those two projects did receive a general fund appropriation in the Environment Budget Bill in 2023, Chapter 60, for the same amount. So the Fergus Falls received a $75,000 general fund appropriation, and the Rice County French Lake one did receive a $150,000 appropriation. So this amendment would basically double the funding for those two projects. The third one on the amendment, the Blue Earth County one, is a new project.
Thank you. Senator Champion, any more questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that clarification. And so with that being said, I believe that this amendment, you know, well-intentioned, I'm not suggesting that it's not worthy, that perhaps that we should honor the process as all of us has been asked to do, and a vote against the A2 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Champion, yeah, thanks for reminding us. I remember that discussion last year, so yeah. Senator Dreheim, then Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Chair. I'll keep it short. I know we're running out of time. You know, I've seen this process work in around, I don't know if it was Senator Francis' district or mine. They had an area, a small lake that they were starting to develop the process. And, you know, here we're actually accomplishing something by making the lakes cleaner, which I think is the public's opinion of what we're supposed to be doing with this money. You know, there's some studies in here that, you know, that spend a lot of money on things that I think if you ask the general public, they would put that at a lower priority as actually cleaning the lakes that we try to enjoy in southern Minnesota. And when I say southern Minnesota, I would say the bottom third or almost half of the state is affected by, you know, curly pondweed and algae blooms, et cetera. And so we're asking for a few dollars here in this amendment to actually accomplish something. And I think the data that Senator Herr asked for, which I'm glad you're asking for data, because that was one of my questions, is, you know, does anybody review the information from these studies? Because, you know, quite a bit of the dollars you're spending are for studies. But, you know, my lake is just a few miles from the Eagle Lake that touches Nick's district and my district. And my lake went up 2 feet this year, at least 2 feet. And it's hard to get good data when you have that much inflow of moisture. So that kind of messes up the whole process. Our lake, we've tracked water quality for probably 50 years on my lake. And we always have a hard time when we have a high water event messing up with our numbers. So I understand why the need is to continue. You know, in southern Minnesota, like I said, 6 of my 7 counties were affected by flood. So I just support a green vote on this amendment and the underlying or the oral amendment to the amendment.
Senator Dreheim, we've incorporated that oral amendment. That's part of the amendment we're considering. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm just, I think that we actually should, as Senator Champion said, respect the process. You know, we're just the Finance Committee. Some of us may serve on environment, some of us don't. And, you know, I don't know that this method, this 3D method, has reached a threshold of really proving itself. And I think that's the purpose of studies, is to make sure you're using the most effective method to address environmental concerns. So I'd just be cautious about and concerned about us making a decision without full range of information, whereas the Environment Committee and certainly the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Board has, and the staff, has spent a lot of time examining all these projects. So I guess I'm not ready to support this amendment.
Thank you. Senator Eichhorn,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just not another question, just another follow-up. I hear a lot about following the process, and that is important. Again, we do appreciate what the board does. They do some really good work. But those of us at this table, those of us in the Environment Committee, are also part of the process. There's a reason that when this was put together, they included the legislators. And every year that this comes through, we've always seen minor changes to the LCCMR bill. Almost never do we see drastic changes, but we always see minor changes like this for projects that make sense, that actually do the work that Minnesotans, I think, expected when they voted for this. And Senator Jasinski's project lines up with that. So that's why I'm happy to support the amendment today. Even though it moves some money around, it keeps both groups whole. And Senator Frentz likes clean drinking water too, so we want to make sure he gets some. We spend a lot of money for our northern guys to have really clean water, and I think Senator Frentz deserves clean water too. So that's the biggest reason we should support this.
I think we all deserve clean water. I have concerns about this process. Senator Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I won't belabor this. I just wanted to say that I think Senator Eichhorn has raised the most important issue that supports my proposition and my position. He says that those of us who are on the Environmental Committee knows these things, and he went on to be so eloquent to talk about the other things. That's true. That's why this matter should have been handled in the Environmental Committee. And it sounds like to me that there was a decision made to include the projects that's here. And if there was a proposal at the committee level, then they could have decided, even the LCCMR, whichever level, they could have done it there. I think it's inappropriate for us to do it here on the Finance Committee, especially without us having the benefit of understanding what other water projects, who else might may have wanted to move some money around, because it would be important. And I do hear my good friend Senator Frentz's name quite often. He certainly wants, you know, clean water, as he wants it for all of us. But I would hope my good friend Senator Frentz and you, Senator Eichhorn, would understand that there's a lot of work that has been done, and that we should not be making these sort of changes here in the Finance Committee.
Mr. Chair, can I just follow up since I was mentioned? Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will say, had this come up in front of the Environment Committee, had Senator Jasinski given this amendment to me, I would have offered it on his behalf. I don't think he realized it was going on, and we've seen changes throughout my 9 years here all the time as it comes to different committees. This was Senator Jasinski's first opportunity. I serve on Environment. I've seen the bills. I've seen this specific project previously, so I know it's okay. If it made folks feel more comfortable for this LCCMR bill to go back to the Environment Committee to hear this specific piece, I would support that as well. I don't think it needs to, because the Environment Committee in the past, with the same makeup, has already heard this bill. So I do think it's important, and I do think we've got to have some of that give and take to be able to make some of these small changes. If this was a couple million bucks, I'd say maybe hold, but this is such a small amount of money in the scheme of things, and it fits within what we've done in the past on this specific bill and in these committees. I think it's okay. I don't see any issue with it.
Senator Jasinski, then Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the debate on this again. Looking at the bills that I've seen in my 9 years, there's always some tweaks to all bills to try and get some last-minute things in, and because of some changes, you try and do that. This is 25% reduction in one project and moving it over into another project that will continue on for 2 years. I think it's a very, very small thing. 25% of the 1.362 is the $335,000. As to the projects, you know, the 75 continue and the 150, we did get information from our water quality 3D folks, and again, there's some exciting things that could happen on the lake, North Eagle Lake, as I've been looking at that one, so that's why this one was added into. It wasn't done for any other reason, it's just they were working on this project. So again, I think it's a small change. Senator Hurd's been great to work with. I appreciate it getting funded 2 years ago. We worked hard on this to get that then, but and this is just an important thing. And just in addition, this technology is not only for lakes, they're looking actually at doing this to water for that are feeding cows that are actually then making them produce more milk. So there's lots of things that could happen from this just beyond this. It's just a really exciting technology. And for a minor change of a 25% and a minor change in this bill, I think it's something that really benefit Minnesota. So thanks again for considering it. I hope it passes. If not, I'll continue to work with Senator Herr. Thank you.
Senator Friends. Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks, members. Great discussion. It should be rare that we make adjustments on the Finance Committee. However, in my opinion, this is a shifting of money from one to another, about $300,000 out of $103 million. I've mentioned, Senator Herr, I look at the representation on LCCMR. I don't see any southern Minnesota at all. 17 members and nobody that I can find representing any agricultural land south of Lakeville. Not that that is your responsibility, but I think there seems to be a reason here. Finally, members, if we agree, this should be a rare tweak. This will be my first vote to tweak it in 9 years. I promise you, I won't do it again for another 9 years, but I'm going to be a yes on the Jasinski Amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Friends, on this point, I think Senator Eichhorn raised the fact this is only $335,000. And I think I'll go back to what Senator Champion raised earlier. His proposal is less than $250,000 for the Wheatley Community Center. And this committee considered that and recognized that the 17 members of the LCCMR are balancing these things. They're making tough decisions. I have a feeling they would gladly spend more money on a whole lot of these and so on. So I guess I'm really kind of wondering here, why, if we just tweak it, just a little bit more. The people who are most vocal on this committee and so on are able to tweak a little bit, and I guess I'd encourage doing the same thing that Senator Champion did, and that is having them go back to LCCMR and let them make decision next year. And yes, we have the ability to do it, but I'm not sure that means we should. Senator Dames on this amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be voting for the amendment. I have served on LCCMR for many years over the years, and certainly we don't want to see these bills totally overhauled. I can remember a couple of times on the floor when we almost tried to totally overhaul the bills, and that's not what we want to do. I find it interesting some members talk about having this being an exception and we shouldn't do it, but yet when they had the opportunity to make an amendment, they did that. However, the amendment didn't pass, but apparently when they put the amendment on the floor, they thought it was okay to make the change. So this is a very small change, and I think that it's a change that makes this process, makes this bill better. And so I would ask that we support the change. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Herr, you've been on LCCMR, and you go through this process, and you spoke with concerns about the proposal in the committee last year to change it. Could you speak to this again?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I would hope and like to ask that Senator Friends maybe hold back on his vote. There's many reasons. You know, it's the same scenario as Senator Champion proposed last year, and we work it through the process, involve community colors and get their projects go. Get the organization go through the process again, and not just that we only have one organization that more minority related, but we also this bill, even though it's not counted like how many minority project, but it is add on. We have posse members or project that go to community color quite abundantly after that conversation. So I'm sure your recommendation today or your suggestion today, if since you brought it up, the LCCMR committee, the staff, and also the board will be more conscientious toward that, and I'm sure you will have more of that coming next year. And if you could retrieve your vote and support or remain neutral or support yes, that will add on to the comprehensive and the merit of the bill going forward. It doesn't make sense that sometimes we tweak along, but the request itself has a merit for us to contaminate this bill that already been quite vetted thoroughly and strongly and go across many parts of our state. The amendments Senator Jasinski had proposed, it's still not a fully study. I'm still look forward to see the outcome. And I have worked with Senator Jasinski very early on so that we are mindful for those smaller projects. And I want to be a champion along with you to see the success, but I have not seen the success yet. And bills like that or amendment like that should come to the committee itself, go through the process. And perhaps if we were debating and come out equal in the environment committee, the merit itself should come to amendment here. And then we debate on, but there's a lot of question on the amendment itself. It could be a poison to this whole amendment that we don't know much about. And I'm at this point, I'm nervous that if we put that amendment on later on, I don't think this LCCMR bill as a whole will go forward. So that's my point, my statement for this bill. And I would hope that member will support this bill as it is. I don't necessarily just like us to rubber stamp, but look at some of the critical issue that we know precisely that that what we amend will achieve what we get. The algae bloom, what caused algae bloom is not just agricultural or runoff alone, but also runoff lawn care chemical. And that whole component itself is still need to present and also need more study for us to take on the 3D water quality besides pilot program to go forward. So I think I said enough, Senator and Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions. The first question I have is to Senator Jasinski, if he could talk about the efficacy of the program, explain a little more about it, because it's my understanding that there's been some concerns about the efficacy. And then my second question would be to Senator Herr, if he can correct me if I'm wrong, that he offered to at least hear this bill or Senator Jasinski's bill or project in his committee and what that would potentially look like, because I understand that you, Senator Herr, have talked about the importance of maintaining the integrity of this bill. So maybe we can start there with Senator Jasinski, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Champion. So what technically is there was eight boxes put in the lake. They basically oxygenate the lake, and they do some other things that I think is copyrighted, because again, they're testing this technology out, so they don't want to give away their technology. So they're checking to see what that's working. They're taking, tests every 2 weeks to check the oxygen levels, what's going on. Many, many more things technical that I can't explain. I don't have the gentleman here today from Water Quality 3 to explain it, but they are testing the lake. They're looking at it, but to look at the lake, and I've been on the lake many, many times, to see the difference in the water quality is truly amazing. It's a completely different lake. It's turning over. They told us before it started that the lake would be more brown than it was green for certain periods. Again, because that's showing that the equipment is working. It's taking the oxygen and getting it into it and getting rid of the phosphorus and many, many other chemical reactions that are happening there. But they are testing it every 2 weeks. They have those results, and those results are showing improvement. It's on track with what it's doing. But again, because of the large amount of inflow that came in the early part of the year, it's struggling to have the results they want as of the results they're looking for right away. But again, it's a little bit delayed, but they are seeing the improvements throughout the lake, and they are testing it.
And Mr. Chair, can Senator I just follow with that
please
before
go
we
ahead.
Go there? Is that okay? Senator Jasinski, can you tell me, because I heard Senator Eichhorn talk about data, Can you tell me if, you know, especially on the toxic algae, does this technology that you're referring to help with that issue, or are we diverting funds away from addressing toxic algae?
Senator Jasinski.
So thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Champion. It is correct, cleaning the water. It's, again, reducing the phosphorus and a couple other things that I can't explain. I'm sorry, but it is showing positive results on the lake, and it is what they're expecting, but again, it's somewhat delayed due to the large amounts of inflow of water.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to ask those questions.
Senator Friends.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think we should have a roll call on this amendment. I'd like to request a roll call on the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Roll call has been requested. We'll have a roll call. Is there further discussion of the Jasinski amendment? If not, staff will take the roll.
Senator Marty.
By the way, first, cameras on for those remote to vote.
Senator Marty.
Marty votes no.
Senator Friends.
Yes.
Senator Pratt.
Yes.
Senator Champion.
No.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Dreheim?
Yes.
Senator Eichhorn?
Aye.
Senator Jasinski?
Aye.
Senator Mohammed?
No.
Senator Murphy?
No.
Senator Pappas?
No.
Senator Wicklund?
No.
There being six yes votes and six no votes, the motion does not prevail. Senator Her further discussion of the bill.
Well, I just appreciate the committee had taken us to an adventure. You know, if I can relate this to some kind of movie where Indiana Jones running and then he lost his knife and then the gate is closing and you reach out and grab the knife and then he got the knife. But it's only happened movie. So I'm glad that, you know, we didn't do that today. And we just left the knife behind, and there will be more essential things that will save our life in the future. So I'm glad that we keep this bill as it is, and appreciate. Mr. Chair, if you're okay for me just to comment my closing, or is there still more business to come?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, add on to my metaphor earlier in relation to a movie, so I appreciate that the committee had put us through an adventure and a well-thought adventure as well. And I want to take this opportunity to also thank all of you, and also Mr. Chair, and also my co-chair of this bill, Senator Westrom, and member of the Senate that are part of the LCCMR. Co-chair of the LCC, my Senate co-chair of the LCCR committee, Senator Green and Senator McCune and Senator Putnam, who are members of this committee, LCCMR committee. And in November, the Environmental Trust Fund received unprecedented support, with more Minnesota voting in favor of a constitutional amendment to continue funding. 77% of Minnesota voters are firm their continued support for the purpose of protecting, conserving, preserving, enhancing Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. And again, Senate File 506 includes projects across the state of Minnesota, from the urban core to greater Minnesota, to help protect, conserve, and preserve and enhance Minnesota environment and natural resources. Minnesota is a national leader for quality of life, the environment, natural resources, and outdoor recreation. And it is because projects like the one on the Senate File 509 that help maintain our leadership. And we are proud of our state because of our environment. So, Mr. Chair, member, I ask for your support of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas?
I'd like to make the motion if it's time.
Senator Pappas moves that Senate File 506. I'll just finish the motion. Senator Pappas moves Senate File 506 be recommended to pass.
I'd like a roll call.
And roll call. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Senator Hur, for bringing this. I think there are some really good projects in this bill, and I think there are some things to be concerned about. You know, I am concerned about the number of studies that we continue to do. I think when you talk about the vote that Minnesotans made, they wanted to see action. They want us to be helping projects that are ready to move. And when I see the delays that were pointed out in some of these 2 years extensions from COVID, where they've either spent none of the funds over the last 4 or 5 years, or maybe as little as 10%, and I don't know how they've spent those funds, maybe on administrative costs and not really moving it forward on the project. Locking up those monies for and maybe preventing things like Senator Jasinski brought up that are showing real promise, because we've had such outrageous delays in even starting some of these that have received delays. I will say that there are a couple of projects I wanted to highlight. One is riverbank restoration in Shakopee. I appreciate that. We all know the Minnesota River is a very important asset to the state, and you know, I've been working hard with our congressional delegation as well as my members in the other chamber to shore up riverbank restoration in the Shakopee area, where deterioration has continued to put public infrastructure at risk, but also impair water quality. And I also want to highlight the grant to Ramsey and Washington County for an anaerobic digester, and that will be located in Louisville Township in my district. It's a great public-private partnership with about $50 million, $100 million project, about $50 million of private investment going into this to create renewable natural gas. Renewable natural gas is one of the sources of energy I've highlighted in the A-plus energy plan for the second session that we've been talking about energy, and being a really great opportunity for us to find a domestically sourced energy that has a negative carbon footprint and actually creates two very useful byproducts, a carbon pellet that can be used for filtering, or has been shown to increase crop yields when it's incorporated in the soil. So I think that was one I wanted to highlight, that as a public-private partnership, both are ready to go. And you know, I hope that we will continue to look at studies as maybe trying to pull back on those in future bills. And I think we have to look harder at those extensions. You know, we have $7.2 million in 2 year extensions, and Senator Jasinski's asking for, you know, $300,000. Seems to me to be a lost opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And I want to, before we vote on Senator Pappas's motion, I want to thank Senator Hur and Co-Chair Gibson as well, and all the 17 members who balance a lot of competing interests, and the staff. You do an excellent job, and I feel confident you're making wise choices. And part of the benefit of this is that we can do longer term looks at things and studies, things that we wouldn't fund through the legislative appropriations process. I think that's why the voters support this so much, and I appreciate that. On Senator Pappas's motion that Senate File 506 as amended be recommended to pass. No further discussion. We will have cameras on to vote. We will have a roll call as has been requested. Staff will take the roll.
Senator Marty.
Aye.
Senator Friends.
Yes.
Senator Pratt.
Yes.
Senator Champion.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Dreheim.
No.
Senator Eichhorn.
No.
Senator Jasinski.
Aye.
Senator Mohammed.
Aye.
Senator Murphy.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
Yes.
Senator Wicklund.
Yes.
There being 10 ayes and 2 noes, the motion prevails, and the bill is on its way. Thank you, Senator Herr and Mr. Campagna and Director Nash, and appreciate your presentation, your good work. Before we, two things for the committee. One is that next week we're hoping to hold a joint hearing on the February forecast, as we know, which is coming up in a couple of days. We're trying to work out a joint one with the House, but it'll either be a joint one or a Senate-only forecast hearing next week. And also because I've been told that Dave Fraser, who has worked for the Senate for the last 12 years for the Senate Republican Caucus as committee researcher and has been the Senate, worked heavily with the Senate Finance Committee as well. I believe he's leaving town he's leaving his position at the end of the week. His last day is Friday. So I want to thank him on behalf of the committee and both caucuses for his work. And with that, there being no further business, this meeting is adjourned.